The people have sent us down here to Jefferson City to be stewards of their tax dollars and to protect their interests. Everyone knows that this will be a difficult economic year, but we are expect to bear the burdens of a recovering economy just like every other household or taxpayer in Missouri. Regardless of political party or ideology, we all labor towards ensuring that we create a Missouri that puts people to work, educates our children, and allows us to achieve the American dream. The Democratic Caucus is prepared to work with our governor and the majority in this Senate to achieve these goals. Our general focus this year will be putting Missouri back to work. We are now suffering a 10% unemployment rate in this state. The recovering economy is contingent upon Missouri workers earning a livable wage, putting food on the table, and clothes on their children's back. We will work tirelessly this session to put paychecks back in the pockets of Missouri's jobless. We will protect education. This difficult budget year will be a challenge toward educational funding. Jump starts to the economy will get the economic car started, but ensuring adequate education for our children will keep it going. All areas will require belt tightening, but we need to be careful that we do not tighten our belt and not sell in that process our future short. We will ensure government integrity. The people demand and government deserves a government that works with them, not for lobbyists or special interests. Events of the last year have shown that protecting government integrity and openness in honest, open government is an eternal struggle. We will work with the governor and the majority in the Senate to ensure that the people's government remains the people's government. We will work together for the families and taxpayers of Missouri. We will work together where we can, but we will fight for those who need our help, whether they are Missouri's school children, Missouri's jobless, or Missouri's seniors. And I'll be happy to open up to anybody else who wants to make comments or if you want to just go to questions.
Senator Shields, in his remarks, in his speech, said we've got to make sure that we continue to fully fund the foundation formula. As tight as the revenues are, as tight as the budget is, can we do that?
I believe we can. I think Senator Bray is here and Senator Barnett, who are on the Appropriations Committee. It's going to be a challenge, but I guess I would just say that we know the Democratic Party, one of the defining issues of the Democratic Party has been its commitment to education and educational excellence. And we will continue that commitment, and we will budget is always a question of priority, and it's very difficult decisions, but in those difficult decisions, you first establish the priority of what this state needs to look like, and part of that is ensuring funding not only secondary and elementary education but also higher education as well. And we will work with the governor. I would commend Governor Nixon on the work that he has done with higher education in ensuring that funding takes place and that they learned that they had to tighten their belt. Everyone might have to tighten their belt. The state, like any household in this state, but we establish the priority of education that is something that we must, fully fund.
Is ethics reform going to be an area where Republicans and Democrats find agreement, or is it going to be?
I hope so. I hope it is not a. I hope there is need for reform, and I'm happy to hear those in the majority party talk about that. Ethics transcends political party, in my view, but I think that there have been certainly issues that we've read about in the media that we've seen that I hope that there's bipartisan agreement on reform that controls the influence of special interests and lobbyists, that defines what a lobbyist is, that defines what people are and what is appropriate in our democracy. I think it's always good every session to discuss ethics, quite frankly. That is a perpetual discussion that this republic should have at all times.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Speak to that, too. If you're talking about ethics and campaign finances all wrapped up in one, a system that the President Pro Tem mentioned the pay-to-play system, a system that allows one individual or one interest group to give unlimited amounts of money. We're seeing $50,000 contributions, $100,000 contributions, is not a system that the public's not going to believe that it is pay-to-play. That kind of system is a pay-to-play system. And I think we have to take very serious look after the events of this past year of who's pulling whose chain through money. And I think that's part of the ethics reform, I believe, we have to talk about, is who pays and who gets to play. And is that, what kind of system do we want?
But don't you create a First Amendment issue if you tell Joe Blow he can't give however much he wants to give?
We've had contribution limits for years.
Exactly.
For years. And they're legal. What are there, three states that don't have contribution limits? So, and we've watched what it's done in Illinois. Anybody on our eastern side of the state has watched Illinois and the huge issues it's caused with the real special interest, moneyed interests owning the government. So, there's no constitutional issues there.
And we also fought that very diligently the last time when they took the limits off. We stood together and saying that this is just going to wreak havoc in our system. It's not going to give the people, the citizens, that we the confidence that we do this job because we want to do this job and we're doing this job in their best interest. We fought that the last time, and the contribution limits were overturned. And so now here we are again. We're discussing the very same thing. So at some point, we got to come to the realization that, you know, the three states, we don't want to be in that minority.
Well, I would point out, too, you bring up constitutional issues. Those are all issues that do come up. However, our federal government does have limits on their, mm-hmm. and those have been upheld. So it's not like, we're one of the examples of one of the very, very small minority of states, very, very small, minuscule minority of states that don't have limits.
This question can go to any of you who've been here a while. When you combine the fact that we are facing such a budget problem with this perception of corruption moving over the Capitol, how would you describe the mood of this session as it begins? Is it more subdued than in the past?
I think it'd be great, you know, I mean, if you know, we had a win, if we were in full recovery, you know, if things were more upbeat. I think the budgetary situation is those who serve on appropriations, you kind of first start the session of where we at on the budget. There's very difficult decisions that we have to face, and in that process, going back to the first question, we as Democrats want to preserve the core of what state government should be about, what it should mean for Missouri families, and that creates that challenge. So there is, a subdued view of that this is not going to be easy, but we've faced difficult decisions before. We certainly want to make an investment and make Missouri part of, you know, a recovery in this country nationally, and we want to be at the forefront as a state of a state that's recovering.
I would agree. It's a very I find it a pretty somber mood around this building, the economy hanging over it. Now, some of us, we say some of us have been around a while. We've been there before. We've done this before, and it is a very, very painful, unpleasant. And our colleagues who weren't there in the early part of this decade will learn about it. I think there is a feeling of the ethical and legal challenges of elected officials in the past year have also caused people to be thinking about who we are and our image and what the public thinks of elected officials, and we should be concerned about that.
I think you know, just to commend the members of our Appropriations Committee, you know, in a bipartisan way, I mean, this state, if you think about it, you read about other states, you read about California, you read about a whole variety of states. These individuals were prudent with this body to bank $1 billion from the state stabilization last year. That was an incredibly far-reaching and very salient, wise decision coming into this year. While we have challenges, you look at other states, this state is in a much better position than, probably 25 other states in the union. I mean, I read about states that are having to, find $5 billion, $10 billion, $40 billion. And you know, the prudence of our appropriations members of, again, we worked together last year. I certainly suggest that we work together this year. I don't think the public is going to have a lot of patience in the middle of a very serious recession to have the two political parties play political tag.
To that budget issue, you know, when we have to make some of these gut-wrenching decisions that we're going to have to make in last year and again this year, you know, I think that builds an ability for us to work bipartisanly to get these things done. We all know what our fiduciary responsibility is to the Constitution, to the state, and to our taxpayers. And so by us being put in this position, while it's very difficult and a lot of difficult decisions are going to have to be made, at least we can work together to make sure that those priorities of the state are still there.
Senator Cowan, you talked about working on jobs, getting the economy going. What are some like simple legislation you think could get passed in terms of economic development this year?
Well, I was fortunate to just have a discussion. I talked to him earlier, and I was very pleased with Governor Nixon in appointing David Kerr from Kansas as the Economic Development Director. My understanding is that he is kind of reviewing. We have an extraordinary opportunity here. We have somebody from a state that is a typical competitor. As a Chiefs fan, it's like getting the former guy who used to work for the Raiders, working for you. And so he has a very unique perspective, if you think about it, that not on the eastern side of the state, but on the western side of the state, he knows what Kansas puts together and how all that works. And he is in the process now of looking at where is Missouri at? What do we need to do? And there's a lot of discussion about tax credits. There's a lot of discussions about all those things. I want this session, the Economic Development Department, to say, where do we need to be this year and in the coming years in our competition with other states and also more broadly in the world economy? And I think that sort of authoritative look, I've seen what Kansas puts on the table. I've seen what other states put on the table. And here is where Missouri's at and here where it needs to be. We'll probably, but I will continue to support, despite it being sometimes a contentious debate in the Senate. A bill was passed last year. There are other issues in tax credits that are probably good ideas. I know the business community talks about angel tax credits, startup tax credits. The president pro tem talked about closing funds and those sorts of things. I think that we always need to have an economic development discussion in the Senate and then a tangible product at the end of that to continue to update, to continue to make us competitive. So that's what I mean by that. I am not fearful or hesitant to have that discussion again about economic development, because there are 10% of Missourians who are jobless. That should be at the forefront of our consideration.
And Chad, to follow on what Senator Callahan said, one place where Kansas has been kicking our rear ends in Missouri is life sciences. And their Kansas Biosciences Authority Act is just amazing. And I am excited that the governor has come forth with this MOSIRA legislation, and I really would hope that with the bipartisan support that it has already, that we'll be able to get that through this year. Because that is an economic tool that we really need in this state.
Given the circumstances of your arrival here, where do you see yourself, what role do you see yourself playing in the ethics here?
Well, my background is in securities compliance. I'm an attorney, both for a broker-dealer and for a trust department. So, ethics has played a significant portion of my professional life. I would offer myself, in my opinion, to any of my colleagues, and I would volunteer to do anything that I can to do for them.
Anything about your predecessor's behavior that can be helpful in this discussion?
Well, I'm not sure. What he did has no bearing on the current campaign finance or the pending bills. He the ethics that he broke is, personal. Yeah. So I'm not sure that you can pass legislation to prevent that.
Well, and I would point out, too, that dealt with none of his time in the Missouri Senate. That was previous to a campaign and involving the Federal Election Commission. And, that again, that was an issue that is not... was not related to his service in the Senate.
I think the risk of putting some increase their numbers in this election year for 2011.
We're going to work very hard, and I think that we've been through very difficult election cycles before, but keep in mind, look at how the dynamics have changed. This last election, while we weren't successful in some Senate seats, we picked up the Missouri governor. We picked up most of the statewide officials. We now have their help. I remember the dark days as a political party in January 1st, 2005. They had all of the statewides except for the Secretary of State, and that was the world we lived in. So I think that dynamic has changed. We have, you know, friends now that will help us and be united in picking these seats up. And I would anticipate that we have colleagues that we need to defend their seats. But, you know, I'm standing here with Senator Barnetts, and I remember all of the political wizards in the media and everything else did not expect Senator Barnetts to win in his district. Well, he's already won it twice. He's going to win a third time.
Are there any seats that you know will stay Republican, of the open seats that are coming?
Well, I think it comes down to candidate recruitment, and you know, we need to do a better job. I will tell you, as far as our campaign, whatever's happened in the past, what all of us are trying to instill is, you know, we just need to work together on the campaign process. Typically, what's happened in the past is, and this is just human nature, whoever's in charge of the Senate campaign is, by their colleagues, has just kind of said, well, they're in charge and it's their problem. We're all going to work together to help our colleagues and have a better election cycle, and that's what we need to prove. So we're going to work as a caucus together in a unified way.
Might be the last question, I'm not sure, but Senator Engler says that the chamber is going to take up some resolutions here in the first few weeks, resolutions dealing with essentially sending the states dissatisfaction with the federal health care legislation, possibly also the cap and trade legislation. Wondering what your response is to using time to send resolutions to Congress.
Well, I earlier at state, and my colleagues are welcome to say this, let me just say this. The state of Missouri sends 2 senators and 9 congressmen to represent us in Washington, and that's how our republic works. Again, that would fall in the category of unnecessary partisan bickering, and I would much rather be talking about how we're going to fund education and how we are going to get Missourians employed again who are jobless. And every minute, every second you spend on stuff like that, which sometimes this body has done in the past, we have this unnecessary, palabering, innocuous, irrelevant debate on something we can't control. And I will be a critic of taking the time to have that innocuous, irrelevant debate over something we can't control. If the state wants to do something on health care, do something on health care. We don't know what the federal health care bill looks like yet. Do you have a copy of it? I mean, it's not done yet. Let's see what they do. Let's see what the governor thinks about it. Let's see what the appropriations step. Let's see what the legislature. That's a worthy discussion to talk about how Missouri fits into the health care legislation, whatever it says, ends up saying. But to have resolutions of, I think it should be all sunshiny days, I think Bob Pretty should be given a crown. I'm just saying, we have, as you know, in the legislative process, you've covered it, everybody is guilty of this, but when we take time from the Missouri Senate's time to deal with these issues of, you know, just minutia and, you know, a resolution that says, let's have all sunshiny days, let's only have it rain on Thursday, yeah, that might make people feel good, but it doesn't solve any problems, it doesn't employ one Missourian, and it doesn't educate one child.
If they want to spend their time that way, I think we as Democrats will be happy to argue against anything that would put Missourians at a disadvantage to the rest of the country in terms of health care. I mean, we've always been clear that in Missouri, we'd like to have everyone have access to health care. So if we get a chance to continually express ourselves about how we feel about Missourians' right to health care, especially not being put at a disadvantage to the rest of the country, we'll talk about it.
Let me follow up one thing. You remember when the stimulus state stabilization dollars came up, there was some time that was taken up in this debate about whether federal stimulus dollars and state stabilization dollars. At the end of the day, it appeared to me that because there were people who had foresight, we have $1 billion to help balance the budget because they prudently and in an accountable, open, transparent way spent the state stabilization dollars. And the state and taxpayers and Missouri's unemployed and Missouri's citizens and seniors who need health care are the beneficiaries of that. Again, I wish we had some of the time. If they really need that much filler, we can always discuss maybe changing the state's dinosaur.
Is Charlie right? Is Senator Shields correct in asking for a discussion about the long-term view and whether or not this legislature should put that into a permanent process?
I'm really reluctant to embrace that simply because we will not be here and we will have future legislators who may have ideas of their own. I think situations change on a yearly basis, and how that comes about is not very clear to me. But I'm very reluctant to hold future legislators to something that we will perhaps do this year or the next.
I think if we're talking about a process or something, I want to hear the ideas, because when we have processes, we have the legislative process, which makes, as Senator Day said, you know, the current legislators commit what for a while we're here. The you know, committing future legislatures, I want to see what exactly he's talking about and what processes would be different, because you cannot commit future to specifics.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, I don't think it ever hurts to, hopefully everybody does this anyway, but to say, okay, we're making this decision, but let's also think about the long term. That's an honest discussion to have. But the reality is, at a certain point, a new legislature can choose to follow that or not. And it might be a future legislature of people who ran against people who wrote the document and disagree with them entirely, and will go in another direction instead, and we'll be thankful and happy that they do.
I got a question for both Senator Dayton and Senator Gray, and perhaps Senator Callahan. Well, both of you are from Limited. This is your last year. First of all, how is that going to affect how you conduct business as legislators? Is it going to make you more inclined to have a legacy, or are you going to be disinterested because you're leaving? How is it going to affect you? How is it going to affect you?
The people sent me here for 8 years. They sent first four and this last four. And I think it would be disingenuous to change whatever I'm doing, because this is my last year of being in the legislature, and I will be fighting for those things that are of importance to my constituents to the day I leave this body.
Well said.
Well, let me just say, I have no doubt about Senator Days, but I would just say it is impossible for Senator Gray not to be engaged. She's on appropriations, so
exactly.
She's already spoken for.
My question is, how do you think term limits is going to affect everything, not only here, but also in the House? You know, you saw in 08, you know, a term limited speaker who didn't care anymore basically caused a lot of disruption. Do you think that could happen again this year?
It's always been part of the Senate, even before term limits, if you think about it, in that, you know, somebody kind of voluntarily decided it was their last term. The Senate survived. That's, you know, there used to be people in the past, even before term limits, that would sort of go off the reservation and say, I don't care, or maybe they lost an election, or maybe there was a phase in time. It's not unique. We'll survive. I think ultimately people's motives, hopefully, in government and why they're doing and what they're doing ultimately become apparent. And if somebody's just doing that because it's their last term or their last week in the Senate, that kind of becomes obvious to all their colleagues.
I guess another question I had for you, more policy.
Uh-huh.
I just came from the House press conference, and the Democratic caucus there was talking about their commitment to campaign finance limits. Now, I remember in 08 that first of all, it was pretty resounding against campaign finance limits. I believe you even voted to reject.
I voted for limits and I voted against limits because here's the problem. Here's the problem. Limits are a very good idea. The problem is we can never get what needs to happen, which is limits on everything. Limits on committees transfers. It was the classic case of there might have been limits in the past, but it was sort of half a loaf or a quarter of a loaf, and I hope in the ethics bill we don't just pass a bill that has ethics written on it and it's cosmetic reform. If you really want to have limits, and I think everybody here would agree, it's fine to put them on campaign committees, but you're going to probably have to make the difficult decision of putting them on parties, on third parties. And those advocates like Senator Bray and Senator Days, I agree with them. I'm not going to vote to just put limits on one and then leave all these third-party committees, because at a certain point, I don't think Charlie Shields is wrong when he says you need to have transparency. Now, he's...
So my question was, you know, given that the vote in 08, would it be fair to say, like Senator Shields said, that a vote on campaign finance limits would be a non-starter? Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I don't know that. I think a lot has changed. I think people look, sometimes you pursue an idea legislatively and see, and it looks like, well, how did this work? There's a lot of evidence to say that you know, not having limits maybe wasn't a good idea, and it probably causes people to reflect. Again, I voted for limits. I've supported limits, but my vote to do away with them was because, again, it was only a quarter of a loaf, or it was only one slice of a loaf, because that it. Just having limits on campaign committees is not a good idea. The limits should be on everything, and I think the advocates of limits would say that.